Hello, this is Todd Starnes. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor at Odessa First Assembly, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoy this message, and I pray the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Remember, Scripture tells us in Philippians 2:13, "For it is He that works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose." And I pray that that work begins in you today.
I'm preaching to you about overcoming sickness, receiving the healing, whether it be in our body, soul, mind, relationships, whatever it is. I'm going to tell you that God still does miracles. He's still at work. He still does this like He did in the first century, just like He did in the Old Testament, just like He did in the New Testament. God is still doing it. And we just need to hold on with faith. And we're going to just talk about some practical aspects of just receiving our healing. So here, part six, overcoming life, overcoming sickness. Let's look at it. Isaiah chapter 53 and Galatians chapter 3, looking at two different texts. Let's read it together. Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5. "Surely He has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with His wounds we are healed." And many of us, maybe we've heard that promise or that passage. And of course, this is in Isaiah. This is before Jesus actually walked the earth. This is a prophetic word from Isaiah about Jesus, what would happen at His crucifixion. But the promise that we get, what we get in exchange for Christ's death, is healing. And I just want to point just a couple of things out very quickly. When we're reading in this passage and it says, "Surely He has borne our grief and carried our sorrows," the literal Hebrew in that passage is talking about sickness and it's talking about pain. It's talking about grief, sickness, and carried our sorrows, our pain. And so think about that for a moment. When Christ came and when He lived upon this earth and walked with the disciples and was delivered up for His crucifixion, upon the cross, He carried your sickness and He carried your pain. And it says, "Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten." We know that God turned His back to Jesus because at that moment, He took upon all the sin of the world from beginning to end. And of course, Christ at that moment cries out, my God, why have You forsaken Me?" But He bore it. He carried it so that you could be healed and so that you could be made whole. It wasn't for the first century. It's for us today. It's for you right now in this room. Jesus carried your pain and Jesus carried your sickness. But He was pierced for our transgressions. We're able to have that forgiveness because He shed His blood. But it says He was crushed for our iniquities. What we have to understand, what Christ did on the cross was just not shed some blood and die, just for some sins to be forgiven, even though that's crucial and important. You also have to remember that the power of sin has been broken. Sorrows, that means that pain, that brokenheartedness, God can heal you from all of it. Now let's flip over to Galatians chapter 3. So there we read a promise that many, and it's probably everyone's familiar with, by His stripes, by His wounds, we were healed. But I want to read in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 and verse 14, and it says this: "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us." You see, He bore our griefs and our sorrows, our sicknesses and our pain. He redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree." What was Christ hanged on? What was He nailed to? The cross. The tree. So that in Christ Jesus, listen, Why did he bear all of that? Why did he take upon himself the sins of the world? Why did he take upon himself our sorrows, our pain, our grief, our sicknesses, our sin? Why did he bear that? Listen, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. But see, the key there is this, is that because of what Christ took on at the cross, you're blessed like Abraham is blessed. We'll get more into that in just a moment, and it'll make a little more sense. But redeemed, I mean, think about that word, redeemed. Redeemed. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Redeemed means to compensate for faults. Anybody have any faults? Some of it, that's some of your fault right there. You're liars. We've all got. I said Wednesday night that I was talking about being redeemed from our falling shorts, and I should have said short fallings. Hopefully, your shorts aren't falling. But that redeemed for our faults or bad aspects of something. Would you agree with me that sin is bad? Would you agree with me that sickness is bad? Compensate for defects. Rescue, justify, vindicate. It also means to gain or regain possession of something. There's been an exchange of payment. And so listen to me. I'm grateful for the cross. And I'm grateful. I mean, right? If nothing else happened in my life, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. I don't think there is a greater miracle. I'm forgiven of sin. I've been washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. But God does not stop there. He doesn't stop with just with forgiveness of sin. He says there's more. That pain you're going through, I provided redemption for that. The sickness you're facing, I provided healing for that. The restoration that you need, I provided payment for that. He's redeemed us whole in our entirety, mind, soul, body, strength, our whole being. He's redeemed us. He's paid the price that needed to be paid for us to be made whole. Listen, it's your first couple of fill in the blanks if you're following along in your notes. Jesus took upon himself what he did not deserve so that by God's grace we could get what we did not deserve. Jesus took upon himself what he did not deserve so that by God's grace we could get what we do not deserve. See, that blessing of Abraham that I talked about in Galatians, we read in Galatians 4:24:1. Genesis chapter 24, verse 1. Genesis 24:1, and it says this. Now when Abraham was, so what is that blessing of Abraham? What have we been drawn into? It says, now Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in a couple of things. But some things. What does that say? What does the scripture tell us? All things. We have been blessed because of Christ's payment, just as Abraham was blessed in all things. And the reason I say that is so many times we get to the place, I think, whether it's our own mindset or it's the enemy, but when God has done so much for us, which we are grateful. We're grateful, right? We're grateful for what God has done in us. Sometimes we get a little timid to go for more, to ask for more, to want more. But what I'm trying to tell you this morning is God paid for more. He paid for more. And so it's okay to come to him and say, all that you gave your life for, Jesus, all that you promised, all that you paid for, I want at work in my life. The total blessing of Abraham. And it says blessed, Abraham, Lord, blessed Abraham in all things. You see, when we talk about peace in our vernacular, our vocabulary, peace means without conflict, absence of conflict. But in the scripture, you got to understand, it's not talking about absence of conflict when we see about peace or blessed is shalom, which means total well-being. When you see that word shalom, blessed, shalom, peace, shalom, what it's talking about, total well-being. That's all of you. That's your spirit, your mind, your body, your finances, your relationships, your marriage, your family, your workplace. It's all things to be made whole. So number one is this, I want you to know, is that it is God's will to heal you. Do not pray, Lord, if it is your will to heal me, will you heal me? Don't pray like that. What you need to know this morning is that it's God's will to heal you. I mean, don't you want God's will? You want God's perfect will at work in your life? Then know that it is God's will to heal you. Jesus not only redeemed us from sin, but he redeemed us from sickness. So it is God's will to heal you. Don't ever, ever doubt it. The devil does bad stuff, but God does good stuff. Don't equate God to do what the devil does. And I know the $64,000 question, then why, if it is God's will to heal, then why does it happen every single time? You know what? I'm just going to fill your heart full of faith and encourage you this morning. And I'm going to like go up just in steps in your eyes and heart, but I'm going to give you the answer for that. I have no idea. But it doesn't change who God is, nor what he promised. I want you to hear me very clearly. Because I don't know all of the, because his ways are higher than my ways. That doesn't diminish who God is. God is still God. And when I look through scripture, there's one thing I see. The only time that somebody didn't get healed is when man was involved. But every time Jesus stepped on the scene, they got healed. We're going to talk about that in just a couple of seconds. We're like, well, what are we talking about? The only people that didn't get healed in the first century in Scripture, in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that I see that didn't get healed, it's because the disciples were involved. But when Jesus stepped on the ground, when Jesus came into the house, come on, do you hear me? When Jesus stepped on the mountainside, the miracles happened. They never failed. Never failed. It is God's will to heal you. I know I've talked about this so many times, but I'm, you know, and my brother-in-law, now years ago, he's passed away now. Seven, eight, 9 years, but he was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. And man, we believed for his healing. We knew that God was going to heal him. And he actually, his lifespan after diagnosis, it was setting records to how long he lived with a diagnosis. I mean, we saw God at work. He was never on a feeding tube. But we saw the impact of ALS, Lou Gehrig's is at work in his body. And when I got the call that we were all shell-shocked. We were stunned the night that he passed away. And I don't understand. And to this day, I still don't understand. But I know that God has a plan and God has a purpose. And regardless what happens to me, regardless what happens to you, that God is still God. And he's still in control. And that does not change his promise. Do you hear me? Just because something is going different than what we think it should go, it doesn't mean that God has lost control or that God has lost his sovereignty. God is sovereign. He sovereignly reigns. He's still in control. And his promises are still secure. Number two is this. Number one, it's God's will to heal you. And see, the reason that is important to know that it's God's will to heal you, because that has direct impact on your faith. Yes. Knowing that it's God's will to heal you has direct impact on your faith. Number two, God lacks nothing. Amen. I know it's simple, right? I know that it is. But God lacks nothing. God loves you. God has compassion for you. God has covered you with the new covenant. He's covered all the bases. He has the power to heal anyone, any sickness. You are not a special case that God overlooks. Pause for effect. Some of you need to hear that right now. You are not special enough for God to overlook you. And I'm going to tell you something. So many people, the scripture in Psalms, we talk about it quite a few times, but that God does whatever he pleases. Did you know? I mean, so many people don't want to go forward or believe for their healing because their life isn't perfect. You know what? None of us are perfect. And if you think you're perfect, somebody lied to you. I don't know who it was, but somebody lied to you, man. None of us are perfect, but God will still heal. God will still heal you. I have seen miracles happen in unbelievers, like lost people turned against God. I've seen God heal them. See, you don't even have to be right with God to get healed. Does my mind understand that? Is my, not completely and totally, but God is God. God is God. Number three is this. So it is God's will to heal you. God lacks nothing. And whatever it is you're facing or going through, God has the power to do it. God does not lack in power. And I know maybe that we know that, but I really want you to hear it this morning. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, God's power, when the Holy Spirit's at work, can bring somebody out of the grave. And so whatever you're carrying, God can heal too. Number three is this. Jesus Christ is the perfect theology. This is really important to catch a hold of. That Jesus is the perfect theology. You see, theology is the study of the nature of God and a religious belief. Theology is a study of the nature of... Listen, theology is the study of the nature of God, and Jesus Christ is the perfect theology. What we see in Jesus is the perfect representation of the Father. And you see, it is God's will to heal you. And God has the power to heal you. And we see that come to fruition through Jesus Christ. Jesus did not act in his own will. Remember, we see through Scripture so many times is that what did he do? What he saw his Father do. What did Jesus do? What he heard from the Father. You see, there's a lot of people in our society, they're okay with Jesus, but they've got some hang-ups about God. And what you need to understand is that Jesus is the perfect representation of our Father's heart and will. Do you hear me this morning? Jesus is the perfect representation of God's will coming to fruition for your life and what he wants for your life. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease. Everybody say every. Come on, say it like there's 1,000 people in the room. Say every. He healed every disease and every affliction among the people. And he's still doing it today. Why? Because that is still the heart of the Father towards you. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all. Everybody say all. All. Healing all. You know who that is? That's you. That's you. That's you in the pew. That's me on the platform. That's all of us. All. And not just that, but the people we're surrounded with in the marketplace, all. There are, the thing is this, there's reason for sicknesses. There is. I mean, we've come too far in knowledge and science. We know that sickness is a result of, poor diet and lifestyle. You know, you cannot have, I know this is, some of you are going to check out right now because it's probably going to be boring to you, but listen to me. You cannot eat nothing but sugar and there not be a negative result of that. We know that, right? You can't smoke for decades upon decades and there not be a result from that. I got really quiet. That took, we can't eat fried chicken 3 meals a day. Hello? I mean, I know we wanna. I mean, even I eat a salad every now and then. We know that poor lifestyle and diet causes sickness. We know that things are genetic. We know things. How do we know things? Because when you go to the doctor, what do they ask you? They ask you about your family history, right? And we know that there's sometimes in our DNA that we're predisposed to certain things because of our genetics. We see sickness happens for a reason. And I mean, we can't not, you know, there's so many times that we got to understand something is that when we are praying or believing for healing, sometimes we meet God with our faith by doing what we need to do.
Well, y'all got really quiet right there.
Yes, believe for the miraculous touch, but eat right. Believe for God a complete healing in your body, but quit smoking. And not because it's sin, because it's going to kill you. Do you hear me? There's some other reasons that sickness happens. And they're a little more on the spiritual end that I want to focus on this morning. One is this. It's actually number three of these four reasons that I have for God's glory to be revealed. I do believe that there are times where there is sickness. God doesn't cause a sickness. He may allow something to happen, but it's for His glory. And we see that through Scripture. We see that through Scripture. And we'll point out a couple in just a moment. But there's also a spirit of infirmity. And I want to talk about that too as well. One reason we cannot overcome sickness is because of that spirit of infirmity. That's your next blink there if you're following along. And I want you to see an account in Scripture. It's in Luke chapter 13. And I'm not, just for time, so I'm not going to read the whole passage. You can go back and read it later. But there's an encounter that happens with Jesus, and there's some religious people there. But this lady, she gets healed. And it tells us that there's this lady in verse 11, and she had a disabling spirit. She had a spirit of infirmity. And you'll see it later down. I mean, Jesus heals her and it upsets the religious people because it's on the Sabbath. But at the close of that passage in verse 16, it tells us, "And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" Listen to me. There is a spirit of infirmity. When you have chased doctors and you've been treated, and that prolonged sickness just keeps going, I'm going to tell you, there might be a spirit of infirmity involved. And I want you to know, when a spirit of infirmity is involved, you can't just sit back and take that thing lightly. But Jesus did two things. There's an example of two things that Jesus did, is that He declared her freedom. If you read that passage, He declared her freedom. It's in verse 12. When Jesus saw her, He called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And so God touched her. And He also did this. He had, at the end there, He laid His hands on her. And I don't think that this is just descriptive of something that happened. I think it's a prescription of something going on. Because you see, the way you get free from a spirit of infirmity is cast the thing out. As you take authority, see, Jesus promised that He has given us power to tread on serpents and scorpions. He's blessed us with His power. It's all in His name. He paid for it. It all belongs to Him. But we need to take a stand and quit praying for the issue and cast the issue out. Do you hear that this morning? Does that resonate with you? You need to cast the thing out. I remember there's a young man. He's in ministry now. And I just remember, I was there that camp service that it happened. There was a young man in our district. This was when my father was the district youth director and ran our youth camps. But I was in that service when it was being talked about. There was a young man that's had just constant seizures, and they were debilitating. They were negatively impacting his life. And my father-in-law felt like he got a word from the Lord that it was a spirit of infirmity that was causing this. And so he prayed for this young man. And here's how he prayed: "I bind the next seizure."
The next seizure's not going to happen. We take authority and cast out the spirit of infirmity. And I'm going to tell you, that was 20 years ago, around, maybe just a little bit less, but that young man has never had a seizure when a stand was taken to cast out the spirit of infirmity. See, sometimes it's more than just prayer, but it's speaking to it and it's casting it out. Take that stand. Have that faith. I'm going to tell you another reason why sickness happens sometimes. It's because a lack of spiritual connection and covering. See, if you have a lack of spiritual connection and covering, it will hinder healing. I didn't say it'll stop healing. I didn't say healing won't happen. But I'm going to tell you, if you are not connected with a body of believers of like faith, it will hinder healing in your life. We see in John chapter 5, and I do want to read this passage. John chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. After this, there was a feast of Jews, and the Jews went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, and there a man is called Bethesda, which has five roof colonnades. Verse 3, and these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, paralyzed. One man was there who had been invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had probably been there a long time. He said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps down before me." When we're looking at this passage, I want you to understand that Bethesda means house of mercy, a place of mercy, a house of mercy. This man had been sick for 38 years. The lifespan in the first century was 40 years. Think about that. Jesus asked a pretty simple question, "Do you want to be healed?" But did you notice the man did not answer, but with an excuse? I'm going to tell you, some people do not want to be healed. There's something about the sickness that has either become a part of their identity, and they want to stay the victim. They want that attention that sickness brings them. I know that's difficult to hear, but it's truth. It's truth. But when you get inside of a body of believers that have faith and preach on healing and miracles and believe for healing and miracles, I'm going to tell you, a shifting should happen on the inside of you. I mean, you got to really ask yourself, when Jesus asked that, I mean, the thing that came to my mind was this: when he responded with an excuse, it told me, I don't know that man really wanted to get healed. But I remember about another story, another account of somebody being healed. And it was by the man by the name that Scripture tells us, blind Bartimaeus. And what I like about that story is that Scripture does give him the identity of that sickness. But Bartimaeus had heard about a Jesus. And then he knew Jesus was coming down his road. And he began to call out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." But then those friends, they were like, "Shh, you're embarrassing us. Shh, be quiet." And the Bible says he cried out all the more, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And Jesus called for him, and blind Bartimaeus comes forward. And Jesus asking the same question, "What do you want me to do for you?" But see, blind Bartimaeus got it right. And he responded, "I want my sight. I'm blind Bartimaeus. And I don't want to be blind Bartimaeus anymore. I want to be seeing Bartimaeus." And the Bible says that Jesus healed him. But if you go on and finish the story, you're going to see something that happens. This man that was laying beside this pool, this house of mercy, Jesus still healed him, still made him whole. This man didn't have anybody help him to get in those waters when they were stirring. But I want to tell you, if you pull yourself out from the fellowship of the saints, come on, somebody, it's going to be really hard to find somebody to help you get in the pool in the house of mercy. So how do you receive your healing? I got to do this very quickly. How do you receive your healing? This is really important. How do you receive your healing? The first thing you do is this, is that you meditate on God's healing promises. If you want healing to happen in your life, then stand on His promises. But it's more than just stand. It's more than just knowing some words. But you got to get it on the inside of you. You got to meditate on it. You got to soak it up. There's so many people that I know that have been seeing just mighty miracles. I mean, just astounding miracles. And something that when they've been in a fight and believing for that healing for a while, there's a common thread I hear from a lot of them, is that I heard of a man that did this, that when he woke up in the morning, he spent 30 minutes in his word on healing and then had his breakfast. At lunchtime, he spent 30 minutes in the word, meditating on those promises of healing, and then had his lunch. And then at supper, he spent 30 minutes in the Word, standing on those, just soaking it in, different promises about healing, and then had his supper. Before he went to bed, he had 30 minutes before he went to bed where he just dwelled and meditated on the scriptures of promises of healing, and then he went to bed. And he kept repeating that cycle, and repeating that cycle, and repeating that cycle. And then there came that moment in time where God came along, the Holy Spirit came along, and made him whole. See, the Bible tells us this, Psalm 107:20, He sent out His word and healed them. He sent out His word and healed them and delivered them from His destruction. And meditation, we're not talking about some, you know, Eastern mysticism thing. I mean, we see the scripture full to meditate on God's word. What that means is just don't go through it flippantly, but you look at it, you soak it in, you stand on it, you believe it, you read it, you memorize it. Psalm 1, 2, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law He meditates day and night. Exodus 23, 25, you shall serve the Lord your God, and He will bless you and your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from among you. Jeremiah 30, 17, for I will restore health to you. Are you sick this morning? Do you need a miracle this morning? Are you going through a struggle this morning? God's word was sent to you to tell you that He'll restore you to health. He goes on to say, Isaiah 38, 16, O Lord, by these signs, by these things men live. And all these things is my life and spirit. O, restore me to health and make me live. How many times has anybody ever gone through a sickness where that you heard and you knew it was the devil? You knew it was the devil, but you got a diagnosis you didn't expect or didn't want. And you heard this in the back of your head, I'm going to kill you with that. Nobody? Really? I faced that. I'll tell you what, that first doctor's appointment after I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease, and that doctor looked me straight in the eye, and he said, one day you'll get cancer from this. And I knew that wasn't my doctor. And I said, see ya. Come on, are you awake this morning? Don't accept that word. God's word to you is that you'll live, and you'll prosper, and you'll be blessed in all things. I think I'm a little more amped up than y'all are. Y'all need some help. Or y'all need to help me or something. Psalm 147, 3, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Psalm 34, 19, and many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all. There is nothing He can't deliver you from. The next thing, how to receive your healing, is to approach God with faith. Approach God with faith for your healing. Approach God with faith. Listen, I know you may know the definitions. Hebrews 11, 1, we've heard it so often. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Hebrews 4, 16, let us then draw with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in our time of need. Here we see faith, we see confidence, we see assurance. But I'm going to tell you this morning, when I read about that and I look at that, I think faith is tenacious. I think faith is tenacious. I'm going to say it again till I think it kind of hits you. Faith should be tenacious. What does that mean? Faith doesn't give up. Faith doesn't stop. Faith doesn't let up. Faith keeps the gas down. You know what's that? Some people need to learn this, what the gas pedal is, right? When you're in the fast lane going below the speed limit. A little teaching moment right here. That's the pedal to your right. That's kind of rectangle. If you're not going to push that pedal, would you get right? Would you get right and get right? I mean, faith is keeping the pedal to the metal. It doesn't matter what the circumstance is. It doesn't matter what the trial is. It doesn't matter what the valley is. It doesn't matter what the struggle is. Faith is, I'm holding on no matter what. I wish I would have done it now, but I had an illustration for this. I was gonna bring my dog out here. Anybody, any dog people? We're dog people. We have a little Chiweeny, if you didn't know, a little Chiweeny, half Chihuahua, half miniature Dachshund, and he's a fourth kid is what he is, but his name's AJ. Oh, I should throw a picture up there. But you know, AJ, he loves to play tug-of-war. You ever played tug-of-war with a dog? You know, he gets a hold of that rope, and he won't let go. And little AJ, man, he'll grab onto that rope, and, man, you can spin him around. We have wood floors in our house, and I'll get him, and I'll just spin him in a circle. And I'll just spin him like that. He won't let go. I'll pick him up in the air and hold him like this, and he will not. He's tenacious holding on to that rope. Your faith got to be tenacious. It doesn't matter what the report the doctor gives you. Come on, somebody. It doesn't matter what the situation looks like. To have faith is to be tenacious and to hold on to God's promise and His word no matter what. Your symptoms may tell you something different, but your faith can speak louder. Your faith needs to be tenacious. Faith will also press past the discouragement. If you've ever held on for any promise, for anything, for any healing, you have faced discouragement. But faith will get you through that valley. Faith will get you through that discouragement. Hold on. You may not see it yet, but it's the hope of what you're going to see that is faith and will carry you through the discouragement. Oh, that's a good word, church. To receive miracles, you need to anticipate miracles. It's having faith, anticipation. Anticipate means to expect it to happen. Listen to me. I think some of us, we're a little timid when it comes to what we believe God for. But here's the thing. How do I illustrate this? How do I illustrate this? You know, how weird would it be If I went clothes shopping, I bought some clothes. I went clothes shopping, and I bought clothes. Chase needs school clothes, so I buy some clothes for Chase, right? And then we'll go put them back on the rack. How weird would that be? Would that be weird? And then Chase comes in, and he wants to buy again those clothes. You know, he's like, "Dad, I need some money. I need some money. I need to buy those clothes. Son, I already bought the clothes for you." Is that making sense yet? Chase, I already bought the clothes for you. But Dad, I need to buy those clothes. No. I already bought the clothes. What you need, I already paid for. You don't have to pay for it again. If you need those clothes, then come to me. Let's just go get those clothes. I'll show them the receipt, the proof of purchase for those clothes, and we'll take the clothes out of the store. God already paid for what you need, and the result, the receipt's in the blood of Jesus. Come on. I mean, it doesn't make sense. See, Christ died for it all. He paid for it all. To receive, see, don't be hesitant. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace and make your request made known to the Lord. It is okay. It is okay to come to God and say, God, I need a miracle. I need a healing. I need restoration. I need something to happen that only heaven can do. And nobody else can do it. No doctor can do it. No psychologist can do it. No medicine can do it. I need you at work to do this, God. It's okay to step up in your faith and in your anticipation for God to do it because He paid for it anyway. The enemy will tell you that'll end in disappointment, but you got to know that our hope, Romans 5:5, will not be disappointed. Another thing is this, really quickly, is that we have to cultivate an atmosphere for healing. What kind of atmosphere are you setting at home? What kind of atmosphere are you setting at work? What kind of atmosphere are you setting in church? You can always tell what the atmosphere is like when you walk into a place. You walk into a home of strife, you can easily walk in and say, ooh, something ain't right in this house. You ever felt that before? When you walk into an atmosphere, I'm going to tell you something. When you walk into an atmosphere where some people got some tenacious faith, and you walk into an atmosphere where some people have some anticipation, there's an atmosphere for a miracle. There's a miracle in the house. There's a miracle in the room when there is an atmosphere for a miracle. You can always tell when you walk into a room what the conversation has been. You set the atmosphere, listen to me, you set the atmosphere in two ways. One is by your need, your hunger, what you need God to do in your life, and being open about it sets the atmosphere. You know what else sets the atmosphere? Is your faith for it to happen. When you walk into the room, when you walk into the place, and say, I know that God's got this. I know that God's going to do this. I know that it's God's promise, that He's the Lord God that heals me, that many have been my afflictions, but He delivers from me all, that He brings health into my body. Needs and faith. I love this quote. If you would stand with me this morning, I want to read a quote from Catherine Coleman. I know maybe probably many of you don't. Who knows or heard of Catherine Coleman? Catherine Coleman, she was a healing evangelist. She's passed on now, but she said this one time. She said, hundreds have been healed just by sitting quietly in the audience without any demonstration whatsoever and even without admonition, because by His presence alone, sick bodies are healed. Listen to me. Everything you need can be found in the presence of God. Everything. Everything. Healing, a miracle, restoration, deliverance, provision can be found in His presence. Because see, one of the reasons for that is, you know what He did? Jesus paid for the way for you to get into His presence. He paid the way for you to get there. He paved the way for you to get there.
I hope and pray that this message ministered to you today. Remember, if you would like to see what's going on or want more information about us, just go to OdessaFirstAssembly.com. And of course, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you.